be seated. And if you'd like to take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll look at some of the accomplishments of our big brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 1 is where we'll start. Now, those of you from Colorado, I'll apologize early because you've heard all the jokes. Especially my children. So here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. We see some of the benefits laid out for us here in chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And we'll spend a little bit of time looking at redemption and sanctification, but righteousness or justness is a better way to translate it, and it means justice according to an established standard. So if the standard is quiet time is 10 o'clock, then that's the standard. And so when you break it, everybody can cheerfully beat you to a pulp or something like that. But in Christ Jesus, he accomplished for us justice, which is great, to this established standard, which standard we have today is God's Word. And then redemption, if you want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 5 for redemption. Redemption is releasing on receipt of a ransom. My daughter doesn't know it yet, but I stole her teddy bear. And so I'll be selling it back to her later. I'll be holding it ransom. no, just kidding. But that's what redemption is. It's deliverance on account of ransom paid. When the ransom is paid, then you're delivered. You are released once the ransom is paid. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we read, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself." He gave himself as a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. So he ransomed, he was the ransom, and we're the prize. So I'll let you figure out who got better into the deal here. But this is Jesus Christ spent his life for all of us, which really is the crux of where I want to go with sanctification, is because sanctification, look at Genesis chapter 2. With sanctification, it means dividing, marking off, separating, or setting apart from that which is common. The unbelievers are the commoners, or common, and we belong to God's family today. Christ paid for us. He's made unto us redemption, sanctification, righteousness. But we're separated out. We're special. Here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, is the first usage of the word. Is seven Greek words not too much to use, guys? No. Okay. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, is the first time sanctified is used. And it says, "And God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God created and made." So after God had finished the orderly restoration of the heavens and earth, he blessed the seventh day. He sanctified it. He did something different on that seventh day. He set it apart, and he rested from the work which he had made. So there were six common days, so to speak, and then on the seventh day, he set it apart. He rested. Recently, we celebrated the 235th anniversary of our country, and we separated that day out, July 4th. It was a special day that we couldn't use fireworks because we've had a drought, but other places could. But in life, you have special days, birthdays, anniversaries, Thanksgiving. Other holidays are special days set apart from regular common work. And so God, look at Deuteronomy 5. This will, again, point out the difference here of common days, so to speak, and being separated, being sanctified, set apart, marked out for God's purposes. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. It says, "Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. Set the Sabbath day apart, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your maidservant, your manservant, your maidservant, your ox, your ass, your cattle, and even the stranger that's there. Everybody within the gate. And so the manservant and the maidservant, they need rest too. So it was a separate. It was just different. It was an extra thing. It wasn't common. That's the point. The children of Israel at this time were to sanctify or set apart the seventh day from all the other 6 days. So, and how was it different? They weren't supposed to work on that day so they could watch football. Right? All right. God separated us out from, you know, everybody who's not born again. Because anybody here come born again from the womb? No, the closest was John the Baptist, and of course he wasn't born again, but he had the Spirit. But everybody else, we all had a time when we were our worst. Right? I'd never met Bob when he was at his worst. That was before he got born again. But I've seen him at his, I haven't seen him at his best yet either, because that will be when Christ comes back. That's him with me too. But see, God, first off, God separated out his son. He separated him out for a particular mission. And then when he finished his mission, it made it available for all of us to be sanctified or set apart now for God's purposes, not for the common world purposes, you know, Monday morning life. We've been separated out for something much better. Look at Hebrews 9. Because of what our big brother accomplished, we are now a new elite special family. We're Jesus Christ men and women. We have an eternal life spirit. We've been redeemed. We've been paid for. The ransom is paid. And now we've been set apart for a better life, a different life, a life that would be well-pleasing in our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So we're eternally redeemed. We can't get kidnapped again. Right? That's great. We've been paid for once and once for all. We don't have to be sacrificed on an altar again every day, which is good. He did it for us, and so we're eternally redeemed. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works, to now, since we're sanctified, we've been bought with a ransom, we now can serve the living God. Serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of a New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You know, many people get an inheritance, and you talk to them a year later, and there's nothing left of the inheritance. You know, we have an eternal inheritance. Side note here. When we were in Israel a number of years ago, we were talking to this one guy, and he was saying, there's a giant casino in Jericho. Okay. And the guys were telling us of a story of where this guy sold his house, took all his money, and he never made it to his home. He stopped at Jericho on the way and lost it all. There goes his entire inheritance, everything he had gained. So let that be a lesson to you, sonny. No, but that's the point, is exactly that. We have an eternal inheritance. Eternally redeemed, an eternal inheritance that we can't lose. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews 10:10 says, by the which will we are sanctified. We are set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He did it all for us. So we're sanctified because of that. And Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore, Jesus also, Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So he sanctified the people. He set them apart through his own blood. He separated out God's people from common people by his own blood. So those who believe regarding the Lord Jesus Christ are sanctified. They're set apart from the world to do God's purposes. You're set apart by God for heaven, and all hell can't stop you from going. You've got eternal redemption. Can't lose it, which is a good thing. So maybe we should earn a few rewards on our way going. Look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1:9. And the word sanctified is the Greek word is hagiazo, and it basically, they're all related. You may have heard of pneuma hagion, holy, word holy, sanctified, saint. They're all the same family, the same Greek family. So we're set apart. We have a spirit from God that sets us apart, the Holy Spirit. In Colossians 1, verse 9, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Isn't that a great prayer? And when you hear about somebody being sanctified, being set apart for God's purposes, you continue to pray for them and that they will receive wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then the next part, that we should walk worthy. Verse 10, that we might walk worthy then of the Lord, since we're part of God's family, since we're born into the household there, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience with long suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, great key, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance, of this eternal inheritance that we're getting, of the saints in light, who has delivered us. He's rescued us out from the power or the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have been sanctified. We are righteous. And it keeps getting better. So we should, exhortation from verse 10, walk worthy of it. Right? When you, part of winning the gold medal then is you then can walk worthy of being a gold medal winner. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, us being part of God's family, through God's desire. He wants all to be saved, and we heeded the call. Through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, Corinthians is written to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who were sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart for God's purposes, and they're called saints. That's hagios. So they're called saints. Hi, saints. How you doing? We're all saints. That's great. We're all holy. We're sanctified. And these people call upon Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Jump over to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read you the NIV of this verse because I think it says it very succinctly. 1 Peter 1. We'll look at 15 and 16. We're saints. We're sanctified. We're set apart for God's purposes. We're different from the world. So if we're different from the world, why do we want to play all the world's reindeer games? You know? We're separate from them. We'll see that in a minute. Jesus talks about that. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16 from the New International Version says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I'm holy. Okay, that's very simple. Follow our big brother's lead and what God wants us to do. We're holy. So we don't want to conform to the world. Go to John 17. God is holy, so we should be too, since we have been marked out or separated out to be holy from the rest of the world. Why should we then participate in the world's ways, in the world's practices with the common people? We're God's people. Those who are without God. So, we should do all of our entertainment should be just like what the world entertains itself with. No. Our friendship should be all worldly people. Our business partners. Probably not. Especially that last one. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people around that may not love God that we have. They're still around. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. So we can't separate ourselves into a little monastery and just copy scriptures all day long anymore. But the world crucified Christ, so why do we want to join in what the world does? John 17:14, Jesus, you know it's him, it's in red. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that they shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Set them apart through truth. Thy word is truth. That's what, again, sets us apart. We learn the word. We live the word. We walk worthy of our calling. And we're separate. We're separate. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Not to become part of the world. For their sakes, though, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We're set apart by the truth. We learn more of the truth. We live by the truth. So we don't... Well, the world didn't like Jesus. It's not going to like us if we stand and act like he did. But that's okay. We have eternal redemption. We have eternal inheritance. Knowing the truth of God's word sanctifies us. It sets us apart to do what God wants us and needs us to do. To answer the call, whatever it is. And it's all different. Romans 12. Familiar scripture. But Romans 12:4. Talking about the body of Christ and our parts in it. For in Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body, I noticed before I came out, everybody was doing this. So there's many members doing different things. This is what it was. So many members in one body. I'm glad you didn't do the feet up in the air instead. And all members have not the same office or the same function. We have different functions in God's body. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. I am thrilled somebody's cooking food right now. That's good. That's a good part in the body of Christ. Then I want to read you then Romans 6 through 8, the literals that Dr. World didn't receive in the Holy Spirit today book, because they're just good. He just says very plainly. Verse 6 reads, you then, insert your name, in the church, having charismata, spiritual abilities and functions, differing according to the divine favor or friendly willingness of God that is given you. If it be a ministry of prophecy, keep busy manifesting by prophesying according to the proportion of your believing. Verse 7. If you have another type of ministry, get busy ministering. That's just really the whole theme. Whatever your part in the body is, get busy doing it. And if you don't know what it is, speak in tongues. How about that? That's a good part in the body. You can always pray. You can always speak the word to somebody. I lived in Brooklyn for a year. I never ran out of people to talk to. So get busy. That's the whole point. You're sanctified for God's purposes. Get busy doing your part in the body. If you have an exhortation ministry, get busy exhorting people. He that giveth forth in any ministry in the church, let him do it simplicity. He that has a ruling ministry, let him get a big whip. No. Let him do it with diligence. He that has a ministry, make him very adept at mercy. Let him do it with cheerfulness. So the exhortation that God has here for us is, get busy. Do something. And sometimes, you know what you're supposed to do? Nothing. That's the right thing to do. But the point is to stay in tune with what God wants you to do, and you can always pray. But look at 2 Corinthians 6. Since we're set apart to do God's will, this is always a great exhortation, 2 Corinthians 6, of what not to do. So we should get busy doing what God wants us to do and not get busy doing what the world wants us to do. Second Corinthians 6. See, we don't want to waste too much time with darkness. There's just not a lot of eternal value in that. Now, helping darkness to become light, okay, that's a different story. But 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. All right, you know, you have to work sometimes. They're on the highways, obviously. There's got to be a lot of unbeliever drivers out there, wherever you are. But you don't have to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Because what fellowship, what communion? How much time should righteousness spend with unrighteousness? What communion should light have with darkness? Light comes in, it dispels the darkness. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believes with an infidel? I'm going to teach the infidels today. By what agreement has the temple of God with idols? You're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, what does it say? Come out from among them. Separate and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's where we fit in. If we're sanctified, if we're separated out in Christ Jesus, why should we be unequally joined together with unbelievers, with unrighteousness, with darkness, with idolatry? Don't you just at the end of the day, you just kind of make it home into the light of your home. Many days, yes, I'm safe. I don't have to be out there with the darkness anymore. So, once a person is sanctified, he has a responsibility to walk separated, to walk sanctified, marked out by God, separate from the world. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus, and what charges we gave you. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That's the will of God, the fact that you're set apart. So because you're set apart, you should abstain from fornication. And this is spiritual idolatry is what it's talking about here. From trying to serve other gods, gods of the world, that want worship, that want your time, your effort, your finances. We should separate ourselves from spiritual idolatry. Then, that every one of you should know how to possess or control his own vessel in sanctification and in honor. You should learn how you should act as a member of the body of Christ. And now it's going to give us some examples. Not in the lust of concupiscence. Basically, that means not with passionate cravings. Even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that's how they walk. With passionate cravings, trying to take care of the flesh. Don't think the way they think. Don't act the way they think. That's not how we're to possess our own vessels. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Really, that no man oversteps or takes advantage of his brother in anything. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called you unto uncleanness, to be defiled, to be unholy. But instead, he has called you unto holiness, or sanctification, to be separate from the world. He, therefore, that rejects it, or you know, despises or rejects it, doesn't reject man, but rejects God, who has, by the way, also given us the Holy Spirit. Do you want to reject God in any area of your life? That's not keeping Jesus Christ Lord. You know, we made him Lord once, but he still has a say. Too many times people have that, okay, he's my Lord. Well, that means he's your Lord. That means he still has a say all the way through. And that's what this is talking about here. Look at Romans 12. God has not called his people to be to a common, unclean, defiled lot. Rather, he has separated unto us the holiness, the sanctification, to be acceptable unto him. Romans 12, verse 1. Again, familiar scriptures here. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, I lovingly implore you. Hello, wake up! This is what I'm saying. That's what God's saying to us. Brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, we are to be living sacrifices. Now, in baseball, there are times when you have a runner on and you will sacrifice your at-bat to the betterment of the team. You will try to bunt the ball or you hit the ball over where the runner can advance so the next person in the body, in the lineup, will do something on your behalf. You are willing to sacrifice your at-bat. Now, what does sacrifice mean? It means sacrifice. It means giving up of something or doing something that maybe you kind of liked to do or wanted to do or the old man really liked doing. But now I'm going to sacrifice. Okay, Vince, I said I was going to use you as my example. A year ago, Vince had to make a decision what he was going to do. He was in my Hour of Power group, and he was going to have to sacrifice his lifestyle and what he was doing and a potential career opportunity and things that were happening to learn, my God, the Bible of all things. But that was the point. It was going to be a sacrifice. He was giving something of value up for something of greater value and something that will help him in the long run, right? Okay, good. It did help you, right? Okay, good. You made the right sacrifice. Yeah. But that was the point. And sometimes it's a mental turmoil of what's the best way to do it. That's why it's called a sacrifice. You know, it's not always easy. Sometimes you have to, I hate to say this, but we have to grow up sometimes. You know, we have to become more mature. Stop with our youthful lust and move forward in life and sacrifice some of the things we used to do, which really weren't much value, for something greater that will last longer and be of more value for the body of Christ. That's what we're being asked to do. That's why he says it's a sacrifice and be a living sacrifice. Wasn't it one of the founding fathers, I can't remember which one, just said, you know, at the end of my life, I've never read the Bible. It's one of the greatest books around, but I never took the time to read it. And it was at the end of his life, and he was making that realization. We don't want to be that guy. Okay? All right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, sanctified, acceptable unto God. After all, that is your reasonable or logical service. Christ did spend his life on, you know, for us. And we are now part of the body of Christ. God has things for us to do. So don't conform to the world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove then what is good and acceptable or well-pleasing and the perfect will of God. So that is what we're doing. But it's a sacrifice because the world keeps wanting to bring us back. Look at Galatians 5. The world wants to keep hold of us. And it's time to move on. It's time to grow up. It's time to do what God needs us to do. And there's still a lot of fun being a Christian, isn't there? Okay, just checking. But you give something up for the greater good. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in liberty. Christ has freed us with freedom. So stand fast in your new, unrestricted, sanctified condition. We have been given the freedom and authority to do whatever God needs us to do. So you've got the freedom now. You've got the liberty. So you can go serve the world, or you can go be a part of what God needs us to be. And God needs a lot of us, because there's a lot of people in the world. How many times in manifestations do you hear, speak my word boldly? I have much people in this city. Sometimes not quite that clear, though, but look at verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. We've been called unto this freedom. The more you sell out to Christ and the things of Christ, the freer you're going to become. Brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to party it up with the unbelievers out there and the fellowship with darkness and all the other parts of that. But instead, by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. However, if you bite and devour each other, that's great living conditions. No, you know, love one another, in contrast to biting and devouring them. Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're separated out. You're different. Stay different. Well, go to Romans 12. We'll close there. Well, that's the royal law. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well then, it says in James. But Romans 12, verse 9, that is our new love nature that we can manifest. We can be more patient, more kind, more gentle, more forgiving. Romans 12, 9 starts with, let love be without dissimulation. Hypocrisy, or it comes out of the Greek theater where they would hold a mask up. They'd play a role. They'd play a part. So you'd hold the mask up and you would be Freddy Krueger. No, well, maybe not. But that's the point. That's who you would, that would be the part you would play. And that's what it's talking about. Don't play a role. Be the role. Be the person who walks in love in the body of Christ. Don't play the role. Don't just have your fellowship face on. Hi. God bless you. Good to see you, man. I haven't seen you in a long time. Oh, you're looking wonderful. You know, then you can go home and get back into darkness. No, you don't want to do that. Let love, the love of God won't do that. It won't allow you to play a role. It's how you live your life. So, here are some examples then of that. Abhor that which is evil. So, cleave to the good. You know, just don't spend a lot of time with evil. Not a lot of profit there. So you hold on to, you cleave to the good. If you don't play a role, if you walk in love, then you will be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. You will with honor prefer one another. If you don't play a role and you let love shine forth, you won't be slothful in business. You'll earn your $6 an hour or more. Not slothful in business. Instead, you'll be fervent in spirit, or spiritually fervent, because you'll be serving the Lord. If you don't play a role, if you really act in love, then you'll rejoice in the hope. You'll be patient in, tribulation, and mental pressures. You'll be able to handle them patiently. Continuing instant in prayer. Good key there, continuing in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Not curse first, but bless them. Bless and curse not. If you let love without hypocrisy be your guide, you will rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one towards another. You won't mind the high things, but condescend to men of low estates. In other words, you treat everybody equal. Be not wise in your own conceits. You'll recompense to no man evil for evil. Oh, he did that to me. I can't wait till tomorrow. I'm getting even. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, because sometimes it flat out isn't possible. However, if it be possible, that doesn't mean you run it the first time. You really try. As much as lieth in you. That means you really try. I mean, you really try as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men and women. We're a new creation. You know, Jesus Christ, men and women, let the world see your brilliance and they'll want to join and be there with the Word and live separate from the world. Don't be part of the world. You'll never fit in with the world. You just won't. It will not happen. They crucified Jesus Christ and we're here in his stead. So you think they're going to like you? But there will be some that will as you take them from darkness to light. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you that Jesus Christ redeemed us and that we have been set apart to do your will and that we can continue to learn it and do it. So we're thankful, Father, we can get busy loving you bigger and doing whatever it is you need us to do. We're thankful for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.